So I've been thinking that this would be a really great time to perfect some of your skill set. As an actor, you need all kinds of different skills. So there's a skill set that I want to talk to you about. It has to do with your video submissions. We're going to learn how to edit better on today's episode of Casting Actors Cast.
This is Casting Actors Cast. Each episode takes you behind the scenes and answers your questions about the business of show. Please don't forget to subscribe and like wherever you get your podcasts. Now here's the host of Casting Actors Cast, Jeffrey Dreisbach.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of Casting Actors Cast. I'm casting director Jeffrey Dreisbach. How are you? I hope you're doing well today. It's really great to have you here on this episode of Casting Actors Cast that we're calling Edit Better. So this is a really great time to perfect some of the skills that you are going to need in the future as well as right now. And since we have a little extra free time on our hands because of the coronavirus, I think this would be a really great time to talk about the best way to edit your videos, whether you're putting in submissions for auditions or whether you're putting together your material to put a reel together. All of those things are going to be covered on today's episode, and I hope that I give you some really excellent advice and some tips on how to do this without freaking out, because everyone is a little bit phobic at times about the technology. If you're one of those people, then stay tuned. This episode is for you. But this is that moment of the podcast where I want to say, wow, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm so grateful to have as many downloads as I've had for this podcast. It's kind of overwhelming. I also want to do a special shout out to my friends at Actors Connection. They're doing such a wonderful thing during this horrible virus that we are all dealing with. And that is, they're doing a lot of special programming. And so I invite you, if you have a chance, check out, and if you haven't done this, by the way, check out Actors Connection, actorsconnection.com. They have a wonderful philosophy for connecting actors with people in the industry, but they're also doing all kinds of really neat events. One that I participated in relatively recently was the Free at 3 event, 3 o'clock every day. So casting directors are invited and deal with questions and answers. So to my friends Tony and Colleen, I just want to say thank you so much for letting me shout out and participating with Actors Connection. I've been enjoying working with them for several years now. So I kind of wanted to give a special shout out to those folks. So check out Actors Connection if you will. But this is also that moment of the podcast where I want to reemphasize that there are all kinds of ways that you can ask questions and help drive this show. And you can go really easily to castingactorscast.com. That's a website. It gives you a little additional information. There are also some show notes from particular episodes, sort of like handout material, but that sort of accompany the podcast. So you can do that. But there's also a special place, a form. If you fill that out and you submit that form, by the way, it asks for your email address and your name. That's it. I don't do anything with that information, by the way. But if you do that, then what will open up is an opportunity for you to download a free book that I wrote called Conversation Pieces Out of the Studio, The Voiceover Workshop for Professional Actors. It's a 100-page PDF book. It's published as well, but I'm giving it to you absolutely free just for checking out the website and letting me know that you're there. You can also leave me a note or ask me a question on that form. So you can do that. I would be so grateful if you would do that. That would be really cool. The other thing is to let you know that we're also on YouTube. So the YouTube channel called Casting Actors Cast, my email address. There's another way that you can write me a direct question, castingactorscast@gmail.com. So there's all kinds of ways that we can have an exchange. And after all, that's why I'm doing this. I really want to continue the dialogue between the side of the industry that looks kind of scary and daunting. We're talking about casting directors and producers and directors and all those people and actors who are looking for information and looking for information about what's going on now, especially that we're dealing with this coronavirus. So that's why I'd like to be able to continue this. Also, the only thing I ask in return is that you do a review or a thumbs up, especially on iTunes, because I'd love to certainly get the numbers up there. Finally, if this is the first time that you're tuning into Casting Actors Cast, I invite you to go back to some previous episodes. This is all about the business of show. I'm giving advice. I'm answering questions. I'm talking about those areas of the industry that you would probably benefit knowing a little bit more about. And that's what this podcast is all about. Okay, I'm done sharing all that. So let's get to the subject at hand, and we're calling this Edit Better. You know, I love alliteration. I was going to call it Betting on Editing. I thought that was kind of weird. Better Edit. And then I thought, no, Better Edit is kind of weird. How about Edit Better? I know. It's a little lonely here when you're in isolation. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, first of all, a lot of free editing programs that are out there. And why would you need to learn how to edit video? Well, obviously, first and foremost is that you're going to be bombarded with all kinds of requests to do video submissions for your work. And don't freak out about that. Knowing how to videotape yourself, of course, there's no tape involved, but I think saying digital video submission, maybe that's the right way to say it. Anyway, being requested to submit some material for an audition freaks out a lot of people. Exactly what do I do with that stuff that I've shot on my cell phone? How do I put that together in a way that looks professional and that will be accepted and appreciated by casting directors and by producers and directors? You know what? There are a lot of free editing programs that are out there that actors should really know about. And there are also some tips and some hints and some suggestions that I would like to make in order to facilitate making this process a little less freaky, a little less intimidating. And so let's talk about that. So when you're asked to submit a video, and by the way, I know I've said this before, but please check out Self-Submit Video as a previous podcast. It's a two-parter. I'm being hosted on Podbean, podbean.com. If you go back and then to Podbean, the website, and then type in Casting Actors Cast, you'll have easy access to all of the past episodes. And there's a two-parter on self-submit. So you want to check that out. So this is sort of hopefully complementing that. So if you've never submitted before, please listen to that first before you jump into this one, only because I think it'll make a little more sense as we move along doing this. I think that there are some basic editing concepts that you need to know. First of all, when you shoot yourself on your cell phone, whatever cell phone device you have, and if that's the way you're going to be submitting, I just want to stress the importance of good lighting, good sound, and a clean background that you can work with. Having said that, the next step is after you've recorded the material, what do you do with that? And many times, actors just sort of decide, okay, I'm just going to send this. And there are several things that need to be done in order to be taken seriously and be accepted in the world of professional when you do your self-submit videos. And I'm going to talk to you about that right now. First of all, you need a really clean, separate slate. I did say separate slate. And what I mean by that, and usually the slate is just you saying your name, but it should also include the name of the project, the name of the character, and your name, along with contact information. Contact information being a cell phone, if you have a cell phone number you'd like to share, an email, and or a website address. Now that should be shot separately. Now, you can do it out loud, right? You can do a live slate chat. Hi, I'm Jeff Dreisbach. I'd like to play the part of Hamlet in Shakespeare's Hamlet. and that's fine. So you can do a live slate. But I like the idea of making sure that you shoot the slate separately from the actual audition. Here's why. Many times producers only want to see the audition. They don't even want to necessarily know the person's name other than seeing it on the submission that we send to that producer or the director. Now, there are others who really like the slate to be connected to the audition. We will do that on our part. But just having the ability to include the slate or not falls on our shoulders. That will help us big time in terms of how to catalog and organize this material to get it into the hands of the producer or the director. That's why that's really important. Some people choose to do a slate by just having their JPEG, their headshot, and that information graphically represented text right on top of the headshot. And that's easily done in any of the videotape editing that we're talking about in today's podcast. Know that the slate is a separate entity. Now, conversely, at the end of your audition, you can give me a closing slate as well. I like the idea of a closing slate because it could say thank you, and then it could just give me your email address or contact information. Now, if you have an agent or a manager, then clearly at the very beginning of your slate, of your audition, that first slate should simply include the name of your rep, as opposed to your contact information. It should be the contact information for your agent or manager. So now you've shot that separately. The next thing that you're going to be shooting is the actual material that you've chosen. Now, if you've been requested with specific material sent to you, you don't have to worry about the time. You know, if they've given you a monologue to learn for whatever project, and the monologue is a 2-minute monologue, then go ahead and work on the monologue. If you're given an opportunity to just submit any of your own material, for example, 2 contrasting monologues or a Shakespeare and then a contemporary, something like that, then by all means, that could also be 2 separate auditions. But know that the length of time of your audition clearly is dictated to you by the requester. The casting director say, we would like you to submit your own material no more than 2 minutes. Do your very, very best to stick to that 2 minutes. That's really, I think, vitally important. So now you've shot, and if you keep them separate, by the way, if it's 2 contrasting monologues, you want to make sure monologue 1 and monologue 2 are shot separately. Here's why. You don't necessarily want to go from one thing, take a breath, and then start another one. It just kind of psychologically, it's just kind of weird. You need your own little prep time at that moment in order to take a breath, maybe set up the shot slightly differently. And if you don't know about framing the shot, that's something to check out as well on that previous podcast that I mentioned earlier. As we talk about videotape editing program, and I'm giving you some free video editing programs that you can take a look at, but I want to kind of give you an overview of how the concept of video editing is done so that you get an idea about where to organize this material, this information. So you've shot your raw audition, you've shot your raw video. Now I want to talk to you conceptually about the universal information that you're going to find on every one of these free video editing programs. All of these programs have several things in common. Now, they might be laid out a little bit differently, for example, on the screen, the GUI, graphical user interface, but the concepts of this information is really what I want to get to, just so that you understand how these are set up so that you won't be freaked out or confused. With all of these programs, the screen is divided up into, you know, for lack of a better word, I'm going to call them quadrants. These are little areas specifically designed to do separate functions when you're video editing. The quadrants, and usually there are 3, typically. There might be more, but 3 is sort of the thing that you're going to find in most of these programs. The first area is what's called media. And now this is an area on the screen where you literally can import all of your media. That would include the raw video that you just shot. That will also include your headshot. That could also include any kind of additional material you want to include on your video audition. Sound is something that's also imported, although I don't recommend you add any additional sound to your audition. But the media is just an area where you can usually, you can click and drag, or you can import all of those media files at once. Also, in your media area, there might be a section for you to do your text. So there might be a text editor. So you would simply bring in the text, clicking on the text that opens up another screen where you can type in whatever you need to have graphically represented on top of the video. The media is that area, that quadrant that takes all of that media into that area. So that's the first kind of big thing you need to know. The second quadrant is the timeline quadrant. And that means it's represented graphically by literally a timeline. And that's where you can grab the media and insert it where you want it in whatever sequence you want. So, for example, if I had a separate introduction slate, I could grab that intro slate and I could drag it down, and that would be the first thing that I do. Then the next thing is obviously the audition itself. So I would simply grab that. When I say grab, I mean literally you mouse click on it, and you can, almost all of these programs, you simply drag that into your timeline. It makes it really kind of simple. So if you know how to do a word processor, right? If you know how to copy and paste, this is all we're doing here, but you're putting it in an appropriate sequential order. Now it's also in the timeline, and this is what makes it kind of interesting, where you can do all kinds of transitional information so that you can go from one of those media things, like the intro, and then you can fade out on that and then fade up on the other. So transitions are something that would take place in the timeline, and you can dictate. You can do hard edits. You can cut really harsh edits. You can do fades. You can do dissolves. There's all kinds of interesting video tricks, if you will, elements that you can use in your project to make it look really, really professional, really good. But that usually happens in the timeline. So you need to put things in sequence, and then you need to simply decide, okay, what transition goes here, what transition goes here. Now, suffice it to say, there are only a few terms for video editing your submission work. And the fade is something I just mentioned, fading in and fading out. That is a way in which the picture dissolves out into black and then comes up. That's a fade out. Fade in. So you can fade in your very first slate shot, for example. Now, I get this question all the time. Most often than not, it is better to fade in on a 3-5 count on your slate. And then fading out on a 3-5 count. That can vary depending upon how creative you think that slate is, and if there's something happening in the slate other than just providing information. The other thing to consider is fading in on your actual audition. So some actors will do this kind of crazy thing where they fade out on the slate, and then suddenly it's the audition and it's live. And that's awfully harsh, by the way. My suggestion is that you fade in your audition on a 3-5 count. The length of time we see it depends on, I think, the material you're choosing to perform. So a comedy, you might fade up a little bit faster, especially if there's a prior action or some piece of business before you start into the scene that you can fade in rather quickly. On the other hand, if it's very dramatic and it's a very heavy piece or whatever it is, and this is also for film and television, not just theater, then you might want to fade slowly in on a 5 count where that prior action might have a little more weight to it. But here's why I like a fade in and fade out. It gives us a time to, here's a good word, acclimate to the environment that you're in. Usually speaking, a really harsh edit comes as a shock and a surprise to us. And that's not as useful as fading us in. You're bringing us into your world. And that, by all accounts, is a really excellent way to start and show us your good work. fading in and fading out. Then, of course, there's the straight cut edit. Straight cuts are still being used. You can still do that. There may be, for example, at the very end of your piece, you may want a very, if it's a punchline, for example, you may want to do a really harsh edit at the end and then maybe fade up on the end close slate. So those are all kinds of fun choices that you can do, but primarily fading in and fading out or dissolve. The dissolve means it goes, it pixelates or does something in between one shot to the other. So the introduction is dissolved into the other. And so that might be a really interesting way to do it as well. You can play with those things because it's a lot of fun to do. Again, this all happens in that second quadrant that we call the timeline. Now, the third is usually what's called the programming or program monitor. And that literally is you seeing the results of your work while you're working on it. So every time you press play or hit the space bar on most programs, then you'll see it all taking place. So you can really look at exactly what's happening when you've made a decision on how it should happen. So that program monitor is just simply showing you the work, the effect of your work in real time as you make those edits. I hope that kind of makes sense to you. So there are a few other concepts I want to give to you before we close out today, but give you some free programs that I think you're going to find really, really useful. Once you're done with your project, your timeline is complete, you've checked it out a couple of times on your monitor, almost all programs then need to go through what's called rendering, a rendering process. And that simply means it takes the program information that you've put together and it sort of mashes up what's called the codec, which is the code that it's been written in, and turns it into the final video project. And usually the end result is an MP4. That's really the way that whatever specific program you're working on turns all of that information into an MP4, which is a playable format on almost all players. MP4, and usually you'll see it's .mp4, right, at the end of the name of your project. That particular format is pretty much universal. Almost all players use MP4 format. It also isn't a huge monster eating up so many bytes of information or data. So it's a very clean, very efficient way, and it's pretty much a universal way to submit your material, whether you're uploading the material or whether you're sending it to somebody directly. But we'll talk about that in just a second. So you really need to know the word render. You want to render your final product into an MP4 format. And your program will be very clear about what you want it to be rendered to. And there are all kinds of other options that are out there, but MP4 would be a great start before you start mucking around with other formats. I'm just telling you from personal experience, that's kind of a good thing to do. Then, of course, you want to upload your video to a cloud-based service. Here's the thing. You do not want to send the finished file, the MP4 file, directly to the casting director. They will never download it. No one has enough space on their hard drives, wherever they're working these days, to download a submitted video. It must go to a service like YouTube, which of course is very, very popular, sort of the artsy place for a lot of actors. And I think it's kind of a cool way to do this is to open a Vimeo account. It's a free account. You might have to pay after a certain amount of data is uploaded, but I recommend Vimeo. It's kind of like the cool, hip, people in the know kind of thing. It's much more of an arty place, but I can tell you from my perspective, I've had very little technical issues with Vimeo. Plus, you can determine how long you want that video to be out there. You can password protect the video, but you never want to send the video directly to who you're submitting to. You only want to send the link. You can include the password to the link if you want. I suggest not. It's so much easier when I'm looking at hundreds of videos so I can just click on the link, watch the audition, and be done with it rather than having to go back and kind of, you know, short-term memory issues, remember what the password is, take me a few extra clicks. I know it sounds so minor, but if you're talking about doing it hundreds and hundreds of times, you can imagine that the more efficient it's presented to me, the better off it is. So once again, you want to make sure you want to send the link and not the video itself. I think you'll find that really helpful information. So this is great for submissions, but this is also great information for when you want to put together your own demo reel. Maybe you've done a few episodes, or maybe you've done a film and you have some film that you would want to edit. I know a lot of well-known actors who love editing their own reels. And once you learn this skill set, I think you're going to have a great time doing it. You're sort of the master of your own domain. But most people have this kind of freak out thing. I'm encouraging you to just jump in with both feet. Now, we're a little short on time, but I have a list here that I'd like to go through of really excellent free video programs. So grab a pencil and paper if you've got one, or if you've got trust your memory, then good on you. But here are some that I have used and that I have personally tested and can tell you work really easily and are fun to use. First, available on Windows, Mac, and Linux is Lightworks. Lightworks has a little bit of a steeper learning curve for some, but it's a really excellent, very clean and efficient program, absolutely free, called Lightworks, all one word. The other one that I like a lot is called Shotcut. It seems to be very, very popular. It's also available on Windows, your Mac, and Linux. DaVinci Resolve, DiVinci Resolve. It's available on Windows, Mac, and Linux as well. This is a very popular program. It has a lot going on. I mean, there's just so many transitions and so many ways in which you can manipulate the data that you have. There is a little bit of a steep learning curve on this, but boy, once you learn that, you will have a lot of options available to your work. Also, Hit Film Express is a really excellent program to use. But you know, now that I'm thinking of it and I've taken out this list and I've worked with all of these, here's a suggestion I make. If you're like on an iMac, if you're on an Apple product, iMovie is great. iMovie is easy to use. You just have to dive in. If you haven't mucked around with it or played with it, please consider using iMovie because I think you'll find that really, really useful. And make sure that you update your iMovie. If you have an older Apple device, update to the newest version. In the same way, Windows Movie Maker is something that I want you to if you use Windows. And here's the thing about that. Windows Movie Maker is no longer added to Windows 10. But if you go to the Windows site, and you can down and just type in Windows Movie Maker, you can download this easy to use PC version of video editing software, and it's free. So I encourage you to check that out if you want something really super easy. So Windows Movie Maker and iMovie are two great programs not to be missed if you're really just beginning. Wow, so that's a lot of information. I hope you've gotten something out of this. Please let me know that this podcast has been helpful to you. If you've learned something, I'd love to know that. Please feel free to write me any questions about this. I'll be more than happy to pick up where we left off and continue on this trek. I tend not to want to just redo my self-submit podcast, but I know that these areas are areas that actors would really benefit from. So jump in with both feet. Make it a fun project for yourself. Don't get overwhelmed. Great big mistakes are absolutely fine because the bigger the mistake, the less likely you are to repeat them. Thanks so much for listening and watching. I'm Jeffrey Dreisbach, and we'll see you on the next episode of Casting Actors Cast. Thanks so much.
Casting Actors Cast is made possible with your support just by listening. Please like, share, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Caitlin Clark.